Iran's president vows to keep selling oil, and how British banks are trying to protect victims of economic abuse. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China, India, South Korea and Japan are among the countries widely tipped to get waivers from Washington for buying Iran's oil. Iran's president has vowed to, quote, break U.S. sanctions in the face of protests. But one thing Iran won't get anymore is cash for its oil. Anahita Toms of law firm Baker McKenzie in Germany explains.
Of course, the U.S. still doesn't want to see any money flowing to Iran. So basically, what they're hoping for is more like a barter system where Iran can basically use the money, for example, for humanitarian purposes.
So in other words, to import, say, food and medicines rather than being paid in cash.
Exactly.
What about this special European channel that some countries have been trying to negotiate to safeguard their trade with Iran? They don't seem to be able to agree even where to locate it because of the backlash that they might face from the U.S.
Well, if you have credit for oil or goods imported from Iran by one EU company, that credit could be used to pay an EU exporter for its goods or services to Iran without any funds being sent. But that mechanism could only work for companies without any exposure to the U.S. I doubt that large German companies, British, French companies will use the SPV for fear of tensions with the U.S.
Now, you actually advise companies on what they can and can't do when there are sanctions. Is there any part of the Iranian economy that is accessible to foreign businesses still?
Yes, definitely the humanitarian transactions, pharmaceutical products, medicine, they are still encouraged by the United States. But also there, the challenge is to find a bank to do the transaction.
Anahita Toms. Let's do the numbers. Despite fresh sanctions, U.S. crude prices have dipped as U.S. supplies worries fade. Stocks in Asia ended solidly lower with few signs that the U.S.-China trade row will ease. At a Shanghai Trade Expo, President Xi Jinping said his country's economy is a sea that can't be disrupted by a storm. Now, European finance ministers meet today to hammer out how they'll deal with budget rebels in Rome. Italy's new government is not only ignoring the command to redo their big spending budget, they're saying it's a model for all of Europe. Nicola Nobile is chief Eurozone economist at Oxford Economics.
The support from Italian citizens to the current government remains pretty high, and the politicians don't have the incentives to backtrack from some of their previous promises. I think the European Commission will initiate a procedure against Italy only if financial markets' reaction will escalate. That's only when the government will do something.
We also had a stress test on Italian banks, which came out pretty good. So is the government right then to say, look, we're on the right track?
This exercise doesn't take into account the fact that if the bond yields increase, you start to see some problems in banks, not just in capital ratios or not just in insolvency, but also in the support that banks can provide to the overall economy. And in fact, we already started to see some of these interest rates for loans have gone up, and also banks are less reluctant to give credit to the overall economy. So we will see some negative effects in the bank system as well, probably not today, probably not this month, but the effect will be quite clear and it will be negative.
Nicola Nobile. Now, here in Britain, banks are issuing new guidelines on how to deal with customers whose finances might be manipulated by an abusive partner. The BBC's Vishala Sripathma reports.
It's a sunny afternoon in London and I'm on my way to see Doris, a British lady who was abused by her partner for over a decade. Her story is harrowing, not just because of the physical violence she was subject to at the hands of her then husband, but because of the type of abuse that preceded the violence, economic abuse, where one partner has control over another's access to money.
I didn't have any access to money, none at all. I had to ask him for things like sanitary towels, any food for my children. I felt like a prisoner, really. Then he sold all my possessions, even sold my winter coat. I did explore ways of trying to get out, but with small children, that there just wasn't anywhere to go.
In the UK, some large banks, including Barclays, HSBC, Santander and RBS, have introduced new guidelines for their staff to try and help victims by training them to look out for warning signs. Leslie McPherson is from the Cooperative Bank.
In the past, a customer might have approached a bank to say that they had a restraining order put in place for someone with whom they'd been in a relationship. And quite often they would find that colleagues didn't quite fully understand what that meant.
Nicholas Sharp-Jeffs is the founder of Survivors of Economic Abuse, a charity that has helped Doris.
In Australia, they have actually gone back to legislation and they've also been innovative in terms of their solutions. So, for example, if a loan has been taken out in joint names, they will actually say, we're going to halve this debt and we're actually going to ensure that the perpetrator is still accountable for having taken the debt out. So there's a little bit more justice. I think technology facilitates some of this abuse. So things like tick boxes, I've consulted a partner, rather than things like signatures or actually having to go physically into branch to do things.
Nicola Sharp-Jeffs of Survivors of Economic Abuse, and that was Vishala Sripathma reporting. Finally, 25 mostly Syrian refugees are being trained to give personalised tours of Oxford's famous Pitt Rivers Museum based on objects the guides have personal connections to, like Arab space instruments and Middle Eastern textiles. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.